This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Language of the Quran, week 2. Last week's recordings are up online, alhamdulillah. In this session, we're going to look at, number one, a quick revision of what we took last week, as usual. And we're going to just focus on al-isti'adha and the words therein. What is al-isti'adha? Correct. When you say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, why are we starting with that? We're supposed to be talking about the Quran.
Because that's the first thing you say when you want to.
Exactly. That's the first thing you should say before reciting the Quran. What's the proof?
In the Quran, we ذكرت القرآن بالتعليم.
Correct. فإذا. Correct. Surah An-Nahl. فإذا قرأت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Allah says, whenever. فإذا. Not فإن. If. فإذا. Whenever you recite the Quran, then seek Allah's protection from الشيطان الرجيم. We're just going to focus on those words today. In particular, four words. The name Allah. A'udhu billah. But I'm going to start with that, not a'udhu, because we want to extract the barakah, start with the lofty name Allah first. So focus on the name Allah, what does that mean? And then the phrase a'udhu. We're going to look at the definition of shaitan and rajim. So shaitan should feel honored that we're actually studying his name. But of course, for the good reasons, and we're going to degrade him even more today. So a quick revision of what we took last week. Last week, before studying the Quran, it's important to understand particular terms, definitions. What terms did we take?
Quran.
What else?
Ayah.
Correct.
Surah
and ayah. In that order. We said the Quran comes from two words. What were they?
Recite and read.
Correct. Recite and read is one. Qara'a, to recite and read. Good. Correct. And qur, compilation. So you could say the word Qur'an came from two words, recitation and compilation. Make it easy for you to remember. What about the word surah? We said it came from four different words, at least. Asur, good. That's one. And a sur is? A wall or a fence, correct. Because just as a wall or a fence encompasses something else, surrounds it, likewise a sur surround the ayat. And just as one sur, a fence connects to another to form a street, a suburb, countries and the whole world, likewise the ayat connect to form a surah that forms a juz'ah and they form a juz'ah and you have the whole Quran. Correct. We said surah was used to describe a camel that reaches perfection. A perfect camel.
Strong and mature.
Correct. A strong, perfect, mature camel is called surah. Right? If you say, I have a surah, meaning I have a strong, complete, perfect camel. So, the surah of the Quran are perfect and complete. That's understood.
Lofty and high.
Correct. Another definition of surah was lofty and high.
What about parts?
And that was the fourth one. We said surah in Arabic means a part of something. As for lofty and high, An-Nabigha, the famous poet, said to the king one day, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَاكَ سُورَةً. Don't you see Allah's given you a surah? Meaning, a high position, right? And as for surah, the word surah came from surah, because a surah, it means part of something. This is the part of Allah's speech. A surah is part of the revelation. So those are the four meanings of surah. And like I said, the recording's online. As for ayah, we gave three. What were they? Correct. A wonder, number two. A miracle, number three. A sign. A wonder, a miracle, and a sign. So something ajib, you say, what an ayah, right? Wow. Wonder. Miracle is also called an ayah. An ayah is a mu'jizah. Why? Because people are unable to perform them. Correct. Ajiz, unable, right? And it's a sign, it's a alama. And we said there are two types of ayat. There's ayat Qur'aniyah and ayat kawniyah. Right? Quranic ayat and universal ayat. So what you see from the sun, the stars, the moon, the seas, the oceans, right? All of those things are ayat. These are signs of Allah's magnificence, majesty, greatness, etc. So we just summarized an hour in 5 minutes. Alhamdulillah. Doing well. Doing well. And revision is very important. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Repetition is the mother of memory. And one of the scholars said, لَأَنْ أَقْرَأَ كِتَابًا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ ثَلَاثَ كُتُبٍ. To read one book 3 times is better than to read 3 different books. When you read something once, you might retain 50%. You read it again, you retain 70%. You read it for a third time, you'll attain 90%. So you're asking me, Marita, how do you retain your knowledge? Just keep reading the same thing over and over. You won't forget it. So they said to read one thing 3 times is better than to read 3 different things. Revise a lot, you'll retain your knowledge, inshallah. That's all last week. So the new content. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We're going to start off with the lofty, majestic name, Allah. Allah. This name, Allah, came from so many other smaller words. We said universal principles, big words come from small words. But we're just going to limit it to 5 today. 5. The first, Allah, came from Aliha. Aliha. Aliha, what does that mean? Aliha means abada. What's abada mean? To worship, literally. It means to worship. Why? Because Allah is worshipped. SubhanAllah, Allah is worshipped. Even in His name, Allah, it means the one only worthy of worship. SubhanAllah, show me another deity, anything else worship. Show me in their name, it actually means the one worshipped. Jesus, does that mean the one worshipped? No, it doesn't. Buddha, does that mean the one worshipped? No, it doesn't. The fire, does that mean the one worshipped? No, it doesn't. Money, the people worship money, worship the dollar, no. So as you can see, the name Allah actually means the one worship, subhanAllah. Amazing. And that's where the word ilah came from. Who was that ilah? Anything worth worshipped, right? La ilaha, right? La ilaha. So the ilah, who is the ilah?
One worship.
Anything, yeah. Anything worshipped is called the ilah. It's a deity, right? Now, Jesus, is He worshipped by the Christians?
Yes.
He sure is. So is He an ilah?
Yes,
He is to them. The elephant who's worshipped among some Hindus, the elephant is an ilah to them. So anything worshipped is called ilah. That's what, yeah, He is an ilah.
Is that
point B? No, it's all part of alaha ilah. So ilah is something worshipped. So therefore, when you take your shahada, you are saying, la ilaha. There's nothing worthy of worship. It doesn't mean there's no God, no. People translate la ilaha meaning there's no God. And it doesn't mean there's no God. There are plenty of deities out there, trust me. People have now taken stars, celebrities, idols. Right? Look at Australian Idol, American Idol, like all that balut. They're taking them as idols. Even when a soccer player scores a ripper goal, what do? We're not worthy, we're not worthy. They prostrate to them. They've taken them as idols. They've taken them as objects of worship. So when you say la ilaha, you're saying there's nothing worthy of worship, then you affirm it. Illallah. So the name Allah came from Aliha and Ilah. So what happened? If you have Ilah here, to get the name Allah, what did we do? We added Alif Lam, Al. Alif Lam plus Ilah equals Allah. That's where the name Allah came from. So Al, the one deity worthy of worship. That's what Allah means. Allah, what a powerful name. It's a shame that many people, when they hear the names of celebrities and so-called stars, who are in fact the most filthiest of people in reality, if you look at their lifestyles, right, they hear these names, they go nuts. Oh, mashallah. Wow. But when they hear the name Allah, it doesn't do anything. There's a problem in the heart. People haven't studied what Tawheed is all about, or what it should do to the heart, what it should do to the believer. So the name Allah is a powerful name. In fact, it's so powerful, Ibn al-Qayyim said, this name Allah is Ismun Jami'. If you had to summarize, what is the name of Allah mean? It's Ismun Jami', the comprehensive name. The name Allah is the comprehensive name. It's the comprehensive name, the comprehensive term, الَّذِي يَشْمَلُ كُلَّ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ, that encompasses and includes all of Allah's names and all of His attributes. So the name Allah, it contains all of the other names. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Wahhab, Al-Tawwab, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Aziz. All the names. In fact, He has more than 99.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. If I told you I have $99 in my pocket, does that mean I only have $99 to my name?
No.
No. I could have. I could have more in the bank. Yeah, I could have more at home. Unless my wife has my debit card, I've got nothing, right? What this hadith means, yes, inna lillahi tis'atan wa tis'een asman. It means Allah has at least 99 names, at least. So like if I said I have $99, it means I have at least $99, I could have more at home. So that hadith is actually authentic. So it's true to some extent, but we don't restrict it to only 99.
Because I think in the Quran it's over 100, and then there was one dua where the Prophet ﷺ made.
Yeah.
He said,
what you've kept with yourself. One that you've kept with yourself. That's right. Allah, how can you restrict something so great? The names and attributes of Allah. So you can't restrict it to 99. So really the name Allah, as we said, it's your comprehensive name for all the other names and attributes. In other words, if you want rahmah, you want mercy, you can say Ya Allah. You want knowledge, you can say Ya Allah. You want mercy, Ya Allah. You want health or wealth, you can say Ya Allah. So the name Allah is your one-stop name for all your needs and all your deeds. You can't go wrong with the name Allah. If you're short on names, you don't know At-Tawwab and Al-Wahhab, you can just say Ya Allah. If you're short on names, just say Ya Allah. Amazing, amazing. So it's a comprehensive name that includes all of the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. The second meaning of Allah, it came from the Arabic word Al-Walah. Al-Walah. Al-Walah means extreme adoration, extreme love. They said, "And tuhibba shakhsan hubban shadidan hatta yadhhab aqluk." You love someone so much that your mind goes infatuation. Let's say madly in love. That's al-Walah, right? Madly in love. Extreme love, extreme adoration. As we said, people have replaced that love, al-wala, not for the creator, but for the creation. They've made these things, these deities or these people, these objects, right? They're objects of extreme love, adoration and affection. They love them so much. When people see a celebrity, oh, they go nuts. Some of them faint. Remember the Michael Jackson phase in the 90s? People were fainting just because they saw him. Who is this man, right? You're going to faint when you see him. And if they shake their hand, oh, I'll never wash this hand again. That's how people are. No, that extreme love and adoration should be for Allah. He is the one who is loved. He is the one who is adored, venerated, revered, honored. Allah, Allah. And He gave us everything. And if I just gifted you with a phone, you say, thank you so much. Thank you. Who would stop thanking me? Just a phone. Right? But what about the one who's gifted us with the ability to see, walk, talk, life? You know, how do we should show that appreciation, true love, adoration for Allah Azza wa Jalla, for Allah. And true love equals worship. True love equals worship because true love is proven on the limbs and not only on the lips. True? True love is proven on the limbs. You have to prove it. Your husband says to you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Never shows it, never takes you out, never hugs you, never kisses you, nothing. That's cold love. So true love is proven. True love is proven. It's like when you go to class, right? One day in an exam, you hand the test paper back blank. Okay, give it back blank. Teacher says, where's your answers? You go, knowledge is in the mind. Walk away. Doesn't make sense. Prove you have knowledge. You have love, prove it. That's why Allah said, what in Surah Ali Imran? قُلْ say, إِن كُنْتَ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. You claim to love Allah, تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ, what should you do? فَاتَّبِعُونِ. Follow the Prophet, act, show us. So those people say, I love Allah, but they never pray, they don't wear hijab, they don't do what Allah wants. I'm sorry. Yeah, they'll say, yeah, knowledge, yeah, love is in the heart. Sure. Well, if you had to go to work and you didn't show up for a whole week, your boss calls you up, where are you? Say, oh, look, it was in my heart to come in, but I couldn't be bothered. He'll say, you and your niyyah, yeah, you and your intention and your heart, stay at home, habibi, for good, you're fired, Allah.
Reminds me of a wife that says to her husband, you never tell me you love me, and he says, Lord, I can do a grease and polish on your car every few weeks. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't do that.
There you go. There you go. At least he was honest. So, al-wala.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The word
Love, hub, no, it's a name. It's a name, no, sorry. But there's ahabba that's a fa'al. Ahabba is the fa'al, and hub is a name. It's a ism. Yeah. Yeah, ahabba, you say ahabbani, he loved me, right? Or she loved me. So hub is actual, that is the name, right? I have hub for you, for example, you say to someone. So that's the name. The name Allah also came from Aliha ilayhi. Aliha ilayhi. Aliha ilayhi. Aliha ilayhi means sakana ilayhi. What's sakana? Sakina.
Tranquility.
Yeah, tranquility, stable, stillness, peace. So well done, sister. MashaAllah. 10 points for you. Yeah, sakina, sakana. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, toilet. So aliha means sakana, sakina. To have peace, tranquility, right? To be at peace. To be tranquil. So what's the connection between Aliha ilayhi and Allah?
Allah is tranquility.
No doubt. When you believe in Him, you have iman in Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal grants you peace and tranquility in your heart. Ala bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. No doubt. Allah, he's like, no doubt, listen up. Listen up. In the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find tranquility, peace, rest. In Allah. In Allah. Put Allah first, you'll never be last. Put Allah Azza wa Jal as first. You'll find peace and tranquility. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, don't rely too much on the creation. They'll let you down. Even your own shadow will leave you in dark times.
Yeah.
Allah Azza wa Jal will never let you down. He's always there. So as we said, it's connected to iman, right? You have iman in Allah, Islam with Allah, then Allah will give you peace. Just like Islam and iman mean peace, also the name Allah actually has the definition of peace. Show me any other deity, Lord, and you can ask people if you give dawah to non-Muslims. Show me any other Lord or deity that has all of these names within their name. None. Walhamdulillah. Only in al-Islam. Yes, yes, you say Aliha al-walad ila ummihi. The boy went to his mother, right, for peace and tranquility, right? So we turn to Allah for peace and tranquility. So Aliha al-walad ila ummihi.
So actual part that means Sakina is the Aliha.
Ilayhi is directly to Allah. Yeah, that's right. Yes. You see? So you turn to Allah for peace. You turn to Allah for peace, tranquility. D. Not Aliha, but Aliha. Extend the last letter, okay? Aliha. Aliha means ammana. Amanahum min khawf. Amn. What's amn mean? We took it.
Safety.
Safety. Again, another. It's connected to Aliha. But this is Aliha. Name Allah. So what the name Allah came from. So Aliha means to keep safe. So with Aliha, you're asking, that person in and of themselves are turning to Allah for peace and tranquility. But Aliha, Allah is the one now who's applying the verb, you could say.
I don't know why when I'm hearing that I'm thinking the people of something.
No. This is Aliha is a verb. It's like jalasa, shariba, akala, aliha. It's to do something. So alihat Riham. Alihat she's alihat Khadija.
How you said that? Like my family or my people.
Now that's al. Alu. That'll be alu. Alright? Alu Khadija. And ahlu. That'll be ahlu also another way. Ahlu Khadija or ahlu Fatima. This is aliha. It's a verb. So Aliha, as we said, is to keep safe. Why? Because if you believe in Allah, He protects you. So Aliha is to keep safe. Yani ammana. Finally, E. I'll put this up here. said five. We're going to limit it to five due to time. The name Allah came from the Arabic word Laha. Laha. Laha means ala wartafa'a, istawa. What does that mean?
He rose
to go above, to elevate, literally. Istawa. Is this in the Quran?
Yes.
Sure is. Ar-Rahman wa 'ala al-'arsh istawa. Allah, the most merciful, rose above the throne.
Not stola.
Yes. No. Not conquered. So laha, to rise, ascend, to elevate. That's what laha means, because Allah has done that. He's above everything. Allahu fawqa kulli shay. Allah is above everything. Nothing's above him. He's above.
About that when it's in the Quran.
Well, people, unfortunately, for many reasons, people are blind followers of what their sheikh just tell them. They just, you know, accept whatever they hear.
People go get their own knowledge.
Yeah, and other people are ignorant of the Arabic, or a lot of people, why? Because as Ahlul Sunnah, it's an-naql fawq al-aql, the revelation above reasoning. They did it the other way around. They have their own misconception and then they try to find the evidence for that in the Quran. No, that's not the approach. We change ourselves for the Qur'an and not the Qur'an for ourselves. So they may come with preconceived notions and then approach the Qur'an with those ideas, and that's how they go astray. And that's why bid'ah, innovation, started when? Not in the time of the Sahaba or the Tabi'un, but rather when Islam spread to the other nations that didn't understand these principles and they had prior, you know, misconceptions, prior concepts of Aqidah that were all messed up and deviated, like the Persians and the Romans and the Greeks. When Islam spread to those countries, the bid'ah started from those people. But it didn't start with the Sahaba or the Tabi'un, because they had this pure fitrah, right? They didn't really have Aqidah before Islam, so thus Islam came to them, right? Like on an empty plate, you could say. And thus they accepted everything. But with them, other nations, as we said, because they had deviations to begin with, It affected them. It affected the Islam. That's why the bid'ah came from them.
Is there a meaning for istawla?
Istawla means to conquer, yeah. Now, if you conquer something, means you didn't have it, you had to go and fight for it. So Allah doesn't conquer things. Everything belongs to Him from day one. So when people try to change the ayat, and tahriful ayat, to change the ayat and to distort them is of two types. One is to try and change the word. Like instead of istawa, they'll say istawla. But alhamdulillah, that's impossible because Allah's protected the Quran. So since they can't do that, they'll try and change the meaning. They'll say this means this. But alhamdulillah, the meanings are also preserved in the sunnah, in the authentic narrations, like al-Bukhari. You know, when people say Allah protected the Quran, don't just think Allah protected the words. He protected the meanings. How can Allah just protect the words and not protect the meanings? Doesn't, right? That's even more important. Or equally important. So they're both protected. So the name Allah, quick revision, we said five things at least. And it means?
To worship.
The one, correct. The one worshipped.
Something worshipped.
Correct.
The only one.
Extreme love.
It means the one who is extreme, we have extreme love for. Is it getting hot in here? Do you need the aircon on? Do you want? Can we turn it on? Sorry, Marida, forgive me.
To be at peace.
To be at peace with, correct.
Keep safe.
One, correct, keep safe, and to rise. MashaAllah, ahsantum. That's the name Allah. Jalla Jalaluhu. What about A'udhu? The word A'udhu came from A'adha. A'adha, you don't have to write that down. A'adha means to enter protection, right, to seek refuge from. But what I really want you to write and focus on is the difference between a'udhu and astaidhu. There's a'udhu and there's astaidhu.
Does it mean to prepare?
No, not to prepare. That's astaidhu ta'ain. And the dal, astaidhu, this is a dal. So what's the difference between a'udhu and asta'idhu? Now they're both translated as to seek protection, seek refuge, right? That's where the word a'adha came from. But the difference is in Arabic, whenever you have these letters, alif, sin, and ta. Whenever you have alif, sin, and ta, ist, or us, depending on how you're going to say the word. What that means in reality is you are requesting something, talab. Requests. Yeah, so alif, sin, and ta, if that comes at the beginning of a word, most times, 9 times out of 10, it means to request something. What's that prayer when you're seeking Allah's guidance called? Istikhara. You see? Istikhara, alif, sin, and ta. You're seeking the khair of something. You're seeking the goodness from it. Istikhara. What about when you fall into sin? What do you do? Istighfar. Astaghfirullah. So you say, astaghfirullah. It's called istighfar. You are seeking what? Requesting?
Forgiveness.
So istighfar, you're requesting?
Guidance.
And istighfar, you're requesting?
Forgiveness.
Also in Surah Al-Fatiha. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. Asta'een. Isti'ana. What are you seeking? Aoun. Help. See, alif, sin, and ta. Istahlafa. Astahlifuki. Halif. What's halif?
A swear.
Wallahi. So I'm saying, I'm requesting you to take an oath. Okay? Astahlifuki, ya ukhti. Take an oath on this, that you didn't do it, for example. Istahlafa. See? Istikhara. Isti'ana. Isti'adha. So what's the difference between isti'adha and a'udhu? Okay, we understand isti'adha, asta'idhu, means to request protection. Whereas a'udhu, you're not requesting. You go, okay, what's a big deal? Now, if you were drowning at sea, you're drowning, and you see someone on a boat, you're going to say, if you may, I please request a life jacket from you, my dear sister in Alisa. You're going to request? No, you say, throw me a life jacket, quickly, right? Before I punch your lights out, quickly, do something. You're not going to request if, let's just say, a hurricane outside, Macquarie Street. You're not going to go to each door and say, hello, may I come in? Please help me, I'm about to die. She's going to barge in. So, astaghfiru to request, right? You're relaxed, you're requesting from Allah, you make dua. A'udhu, you're not requesting. You're just entering into Allah's worship. That's how desperate you are. That's how desperate you are for Allah's help.
Demanding?
Yeah, you're like you're demanding, but you're not even entering. You're not even requesting. You're entering immediately. You're saying, oh Allah, I enter immediately. I give myself up. You know, like I submit, I surrender. I give myself up. I hand myself in to your protection.
Just
protect me, Allah.
Yeah.
So, astaghfiru, we said that ast means to request. So here, you are requesting, you are seeking protection. Yes, this is for B. But we're doing a'udhu now. When you say a'udhu billah. Well, a'udhu, you are entering immediately. In other words, that's teaching you, you need to enter Allah's protection straight away when it comes to the shaitan. This guy is very deceptive. He has a PhD in deception. He's been around for many years. He's old, you are new. He's experienced, we are amateurs. Don't think you can outsmart him. The only way you're going to outsmart him is via the Quran and the Sunnah. Implement that, then, khalas, the ball's in your court. But other than that, you need Allah's tawfiq, you need His protection. She's saying, I enter straight away, Ya Allah. I give myself up, protect me, protect me. In fact, that's what criminals do if they're going to get shot down by a gang. Rather, they actually go to the police station, say, look, I've committed this crime, please lock me up.
Yeah.
They'll actually hand themselves in to prison because they want to get protection. So, it's very interesting when you look at these words. But we said most of the time you have alif, sin, and ta. Because it doesn't work for every single verb. Like, istayqadha, min al-nawm, he woke up. You see? So it's not a request waking up. It's just he woke up. So we said 9 times out of 10. General principles. That's what I'm here to teach you. General concepts. Not every single detail. So we've done with a'udhu. What about the word shaitan?
Why in this case, Allah, you know, because we do use, you know, astaghfiru.
No.
In Islam.
You do use it, yes.
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us when the Quran, when we read Quran, to say a'udhu. Right? Is that because Quran, shaitan comes to us the most when we're trying to get closer to Allah?
Correct. Quran? Yes, very good. Because shaitan comes to you most when you're trying to get closer, in particular, two acts of worship. The Quran and Salah.
Mm-hmm.
The Quran and Salah. That's why a lot of people, they don't really last in Quran classes. They try to memorize and they make excuses. Oh, it's too hard. I'm busy. Right, and Salah also. So shaitan gets to you via those two doors because they're great acts of worship. And they connect you to Allah. If you want to connect with Allah, you pray. If you want Allah to speak to you, you read the Quran. So it's a way of communicating with Allah.
Even through zakat too.
No. Yeah, wallahi, so many doors, yeah.
I need this money now.
No. That's right. As for shaitan, the word shaitan came from two words in Arabic. Number one, shatana. Shatana. And shatana means ba'uda. What's ba'id? Far away. Shaitan is far from Allah. He's far from goodness. He's far from deeds. He's far from Jannah. He's far from Allah's mercy. So literally, shatana means to be far away, distant. Because he is far from so many things. He's far from goodness. That's a summary. Shatana min kulli khayr. This guy is far from anything good. That's what his name means. So Satan is not a real accurate translation. Or the devil, not really either. So there's more to it. So the scholars said something interesting. They said, if you want to be far from shaitan, in fact, his name means to one who is far. You want to be far from him in the next world, you got to be far from him in this world. So don't follow his footsteps. Be far away from him. Be far away. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, don't be like those who curse shaitan in public, but obey him in private. Well, a lot of people do that. In public, la'natullahi ala shaitan, oh, that guy, you know, this and that is our enemy. But in private, right, they're obeying him. Oh, what can I do for you, oh shaitan? Almost. Almost like that. So don't be among those who curse him in public and obey him in private. Not in the sense of munafiqun Islamically, but in the sense of, you could say the English definition, لِمَ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you don't do? Of course, this is hated to Allah. This is hated. But even if a person is sinning, they should still tell others not to do the same thing. Because that's, if you don't, then you're falling into two sins. All right? You're actually doing the sin and you're actually not forbidding the evil. And Ibn al-Qayyim, or one of the Salaf, said, Shaytan said, I used to teach people evil, now I learn from them. If people have gotten so bad, well, now Shaytan, he's actually, taking notes from them, right? The people have become the mashayikh and the shuyukh of Shaytan. He's taking notes, he's, how can I learn? And there's a joke about Abu Jahl or Fir'aun, where, of course, Shaytan was trying to whisper bad thoughts, right? Waswas, waswas. So he's whispering, and then Fir'aun or Abu Jahl, they come with their own evil thought. So Shaytan said, A'udhu Billah. Okay, how can... So he was so bad that even Shaytan thought, wow, that's khalas. And that's exactly the case, and that happens even with teachers. Like, yeah, I'm teaching Islam and Arabic, but there's many times where I actually learn from students. So sometimes the teacher can actually learn from the student. So that's the case of Shaitan and mankind today. Mankind have gone so bad, Shaitan is taking notes. And what's also interesting in Arabic, the word Shaitan, ala wazni fa'lan, it rhymes with fa'lan. When a word rhymes with fa'lan, it's on a higher level altogether. So shatana in Arabic, the dua, you'll learn how to derive the dua from these verbs. The dua for shatana is shatin, right? Abada, abid, shariba, sharib, right? Shatana, shatin. The dua is a shatin, but it's not called shatin, it's called shaitan. What word does that rhyme with in Arabic, we said? Fa'lan. Fa'lan. Now what's another word that rhymes with fa'lan? When you're extremely hungry, ana? Jaw'an. When you're really angry, ana za'lan. Or ana ghadban. Or really thirsty, ana? Achan. You see those words, right? Achan, ghadban, za'lan, fa'lan. A name of Allah? Rahman. Rahman, ultimate mercy. That's the highest level. You can't get higher than that. Ghadban, really angry. Heads are gonna roll. Like ghadib. Right? Mild-tempered. Achan, really hungry, starving, really thirsty, sorry. Right? If you don't have water now, you're dead. Altish, you're just one little bit of water. Jawan, really hungry, as opposed to ja'a, peckish. So, fa'lan, the word shaitan is on the same rhyme pattern. It's called nafsul wazn, right? Wazn, fa'lan. It rhymes with it. So, shaitan is not like shaitin. So he is really far. And you're going to see the other meaning also. It came from shayata, which actually means angry, agitated, ignited. That's shaitan. He's really angry. This guy's really moody, agitated all the time. Okay, and he's ignited because he's been created from fire. So that's the second meaning. The word shaitan came from shayata in Arabic. That's where the word shaitan came from. And shayata has three meanings. Really angry, agitated, and ignited, set ablaze. I'll read what the ulama said about this word. They said the word shaitan came from shatana, ay, haja, wahtaraqa. Yani, to become angry, agitated, and ahtaraqa, from ihtiraq, to be set ablaze. So he's got really moody, hot-tempered, and being created from the fire, and really angry, really angry, subhanAllah. So which is more correct? يقول ابن كثير, ابن كثير said in his famous tafsir, العلماء يصححون المعنيين. The scholars said both are correct. The word shaitan came from shatana and shata. Both are correct. Both are correct.
And set a light or ignited, would that also tie in with hellfire?
No doubt. No doubt. That's where he wants to take you, to the ignited place. Hellfire. And he agitates humans for many ways. Among them is to remind you of your past, make you remorseful and regretful. A lot of people do that. You probably get that a lot with counseling. People always regretting and upset over the past. Right? Shaitan does that. So when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Where's he going?
Hellfire.
SubhanAllah. So don't let him remind you of your past. And if something has happened in the past, you're not happy with, alhamdulillah, it's decreed, khalas, it's done. It was written, decreed 50,000 years before the creation. Umar ibn Khattab said, no amount of worry will change the future, and no amount of regret will change the past. Accept things as they are, alhamdulillah. And when the past calls, not on the phone, but when the past calls, send it to voicemail, because it's got nothing new to say. Old news, right? Khalas. So that's what shaitan does. So, of course, I need some nice points regarding protection against the shaitan. And the ulama said, how do you protect yourself from someone you can't see? You can't see shaitan. How do you protect yourself from someone you can't see? You turn to the one whom shaitan can't see. Allah. Shaitan can't see him. So, there you go. There's your advantage point. That's shaitan. And finally, rajim. We said in universal principles, big words come from small words. So, what's the small word? Rajama, good. So the word rajim came from rajama. Ahsanti. Rajama has many meanings. Among them, rajama yani to hurl something. To hurl what in particular? Rocks, stones. That's rajama. La'arjumannak, right? I'm going to stone you, literally. So la'arjumannak from rajama to hurl stones. So what do we do at Hajj time? Naam, rajam, ay jamarat, right? The jamarat where you throw the pebbles, the stones, right? So that's where the word rajim came from, because he is literally one who is stoned and so forth, like the jamarat, etc. And by the way, the sunnah of the jamarat is small pebbles, not huge boulders. La'anatullahi ala shaitan, right? And you kill the guy in front of you. No, that's not the sunnah. That's not the sunnah. Or if you're Lebanese, right, the thong, right? A'udhu billahi ya shaitan. No, that's not him, literally. It's just a symbol. It's symbolic. There's worse, actually. I don't even want to say it, what people do to the jamarat. SubhanAllah. Like urinating and defecating and thinking that's a shaitan. So, naam.
Yeah.
So you're following the shaitan. What are you doing? So, rajama means to hurl stones, but it also means to hurl obscenities, curses. The scholar said, Rajama, Ramahu bil hijara, we took that, to hurl stones, but also Ramahu bil fuhshi min al qawli wa la'anahu, to hurl insults and to hurl curses. And that's what people do to shaitan day and night. La'anatullah ala shaitan this, la'anatullah ala shaitan that. They hurl insults and curses. SubhanAllah. So, yeah, you can curse the shaitan, but not in a state of anger where something bad happens, you curse the shaitan. Because that's when he grows. Yeah, but if you're calm and you're saying La'natullah ala shaitan, no problem. Because if you do it in a state of anger, he's going to say, he's going to become proud and arrogant and say, via my power, I've angered him. So rather do it not when you're angry. And that's why sometimes you read the definition of shaitan, ar-rajim, the accursed. That's one of the meanings among the many others. Sometimes you might read another translation, which is the outcast. In fact, that's another meaning of rajim. Rajim, the one who is outcasted. Because rajama also means tarada. Tarada, sorry. Tarada in Arabic means to expel, to outcast. And that's the final thing we're going to write for today in terms of language of the Quran. Shaitan, he's expelled, he's outcasted originally from Jannah. He's been outcasted and expelled from Allah's mercy, from forgiveness. So the last, word
number two, is that under?
Yeah, so this is another meaning of rajim. The one who's expelled, okay, rajama means to expel. If you were to say to someone, Rajamtuka, I've expelled you. Rajamtuka min bayti, I've kicked you out of my home. Yeah, tarada. Yeah, tarada is rajama. Tarada. Yeah. Tarada. Tarada means to kick out. You know, matrud? So he's matrud min rahmatillah. He's been kicked out of Allah's mercy. He's expelled. So really, when you say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, you are saying I immediately enter into Allah's protection, the one, only, worthy of worship, who is extremely loved, adored, venerated, the one who we seek protection and security from, in which the hearts find rest, from the one who's extremely far away from Allah, from goodness, good deeds, mercy, forgiveness, the one who's agitated, ignited, angry, moody, and the one who is expelled, outcasted from Allah's mercy, the one who is hurled from stones and hurled with insults and curses. Try putting that in a...
That,
right. That is A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. How many words is that in Arabic? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. 5 words, look at that definition. I needed 50 words to summarize the 5 words in Arabic. That's how deep the Arabic language is, subhanAllah. Amazing, amazing. Welcome, sisters. Take a seat. No problem, no problem, Ukhti. With that, we conclude. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.